the book of Ephesians. Alright. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, remember that here you are, we are here, right here sitting to this morning, as according to verse 3, that we are all sitting and blessed with our spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, my part today, and I said this, is on Revelation. But the title Revelation sounds strange to you. But this chapter, if we can look at this chapter, what Paul wrote about, it's all based on revelation as to our relationship with him. Now, we are here because what Christ had accomplished. And now we are all sitting here and we are all blessed in all heavenly, you know, with all heavenly blessing and in all in heavenly places as we sit with him. Now, to put a subtitle, I would like to say the title will be, "It is finished." But before we do, there are some other verses of scripture perhaps we would like to read. Now, do you remember when Jesus said, when he was crucified on Mount Calvary, the last word he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. The revelation I'm talking about begins from the very beginning, as seen from the book of Genesis, right up to the time when Jesus appeared and hanging upon the cross, and he said, "It is finished," from Calvary there to eternity. So it is finished. As from Genesis, or the beginning, to Calvary. And then from Calvary to eternity. I want to show you a picture. I want to show touch and shadow. I want to show you how God has hidden things in the Bible, things that he performed, the thing that he worked out, the thing that he created, why he created, the thing, the way he do it, as to hide certain mystery. Now we know, as Paul here says, the mystery that was hidden in Christ, or hidden in God, but revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of what Christ has done for us, Paul is very specific to pray all the time that God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us, every one of us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, if we are not in a spiritual tuning with God, Spirit, and I guess you will not be able to find revelation or what the whole thing all about here in the Bible written the way that Paul wrote it. And you know, it's not just Paul wrote it, but it is the Holy Spirit that allows and got Paul to write the Bible or his epistle or all the other prophets and apostles wrote in such a way as to hide the mystery from the wise and the prudent, from those who are smart alex, intellectual people who study the Bible in theological school. God can't reveal this mystery in the Bible to educated people. People who think that they can understand the Bible because they have a PhD or a DD. But God is going to reveal the story to those who has a love for Him, a deep love for Him. Not just, oh, I love God. I know God exists. I know He exists. From Roman Catholicism right up to Pentecostalism, the Charismaticism. 2,000 denominations, major denominations. They all said they love the Lord Jesus Christ in the very beginning, when the Catholic Church started as the mother of harlots. All the way right up to today, Charismaticism, even Paganism. Everybody, they all can say, oh, we all love the Lord Jesus. But you know, there is one thing about what love is and what love is. You know what I'm saying? There are cars and there are cars. There are Christians and there are Christians. So I'm talking about those who are really Christian, not Christian. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian, right? You know that, don't you? Trick application form, what's your religion? Christian. Right? So the same thing is, we have, as we look at the Bible, that if you really love the Lord with a deep love and for His Word, and you want to know the relationship you have with Him, I always emphasize this very importantly, that your relationship with God is what counts. How much you can interact with Him is what counts. A lot of people go to church, we don't know that. I go to church when I was young. But if I go to church, there was a special relationship, not with the church, but with God. That I can leave the church and then go at night, I can go out somewhere and talk to the Lord alone. Get on your cup up alone. Be alone with God, be able to talk with God, be able to have that contact with God, to know Him. And He knows me. And that's what Paul here is talking about. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, so that you may know Him, so how that He knows you. Now, if you do not know God in the first place, of course, God is not interested in you either, anyway. It's the relationship between the Father and the Son. And you know how many times the Son always comes to the Papa and asks the Papa for this and that and everything, but they don't really love the Father. Oh, I love you, Dad, because the Dad gave him $10. I bought him a Nintendo or Xbox or something like that, a computer. Oh, I love you, Daddy. But you know, after a while, you know, the thing dies up, you know, he never said, I love you, Daddy, until something, someday the Father buys something, then he says, I love you. And we only love God many times. We love God because He did something for us. But can we love God even though when He don't seem to be doing anything for us? You know, the Jews, as I said, in the Polish concentration camp, they found the word written on the wall. You know how the Jews suffer? Even when He is silent, I know He's to God. Now how can you know, Jew cry for days and years and years and years and years crying out during those wars where 6 million died, tortured, gas chambered, see the loved one, they cry, where is Yahweh? But God remains silent. Yes, a lot of Jews spit on God and die. But those that have a relationship with God, they know. Even if He remains silent, He is still Yahweh. And I pray that this be a real, something real to you. Let us read now here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. When I speak of it is finished, I'm talking about relationship now. Remember this. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Because in verse chapter 1, we talk about Christ's inheritance in the same. What did Christ receive from the Father? He received a name. That name is Yahuwah. And that is his inheritance. And he gives his inheritance in the saints of God. And that's why you can be called Christian. Huh? He took the name of Jesus Christ when he go into water baptism. Of course, many go into water baptism without the name of Jesus, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're in the name of God. But if we are married to Christ, we take his name. So we are Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's the main reason why there's Christ's inheritance. He received from the Father a name above all names in heaven and earth. And give it to us that by this name we have salvation. He purchased it back. Now I'm going to build this up a little bit so you understand. Now here we see, of course, in chapter 5, verse 23, here talking about the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body. Now remember this, there is the head and there is the body. Okay, now let's go over to 1 Corinthians. If we will here, just came to my mind, we'd just like to go over to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Now verse 3, and here we see that, well, if you know, that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This, every Christian understands. Here we have Yahweh, which of course is a Hebrew, or is the name of God in Hebrew. We call God. God is actually a bad term. Actually, God means generalized, and anything can be God. You know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah. So a lot of young people have a lot of gods. You know, a lot of young people have a lot of gods. Yeah, and there are gods to all those pop idols. The rock ones, and the psychedelic ones, and the disco types, and the rappers, and all these, they are gods. Don't you know that, don't you? Yes, it is true. And all young people also go to the arcade, and those arcade machines there, they are gods too. They just put some money to the god, and the god will come out and play with them. God is just a title that means anything. But when they say Yahweh, it's a better term, because Yahweh means that this one God that we all know. The one who created, the one mighty spirit that created heaven and earth. Alright? And we know that only the true religion in the world, that is, when we use the word religion, is the Jewish religion. Because it is from the Jew that we receive the oracles of God. Outside of the Jew, there is nobody else knows God. You have, of course, your paganism in China, in India, in any other country. They worship stones, wood, rocks, and everything. They have crocodiles, monkeys, and elephants, and peacocks. And they worship all kinds. But Yahweh has that name. Now, Yahweh of God is the head of Christ, isn't it? Now, Christ is head of the man. And man is head over the woman. And a woman hit over no man. Hit over heel, like I said. Woman has no head over anybody. It's head over anybody. But the woman has a position. And that, I want to show you that the man and the woman and God in Christ. So we see this headship here now, alright? Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Now I'm just picking up these verses first before our foundation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, goes to verse 23. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for he pleased the Father, in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, are we talking about the faith, grounded. You know what's grounded? You know what grounded is? Now you ground down some wheat or something like that, huh? Set it down. Alright. And do not move away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, and make a minister. Colossians, 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians again, and now we have chapter 10, verse 16. Alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The cover of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now, in all these verses, of course, we have, we talk about, deals with the body, the blood, the head, the body, the Savior, the church. Alright, now, we go back to Genesis now. You know, in Genesis, God made man. I want you to look at the body of Adam. Now, you're going to learn touch and shadow. You're going to understand. You can only understand the revelation of God through touch and shadow. Otherwise, you'll never understand the mysteries of God. When God would make Adam, Adam was a spirit. We all know that. He was created in the image of God. That was the spiritual side of Adam. He has no physical body. But there was this earth, and he walks in the Garden of Eden. But he has no contact with the surrounding because he was in the spirit. So then God began to form the dust. You know, a body of dust, and breathe into the nostril of this body of dust, the spirit of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Is that right? Now, anytime anybody asks you, young people, you children, chicken or egg come first, always think of Adam. Because Adam didn't come from an egg. Right? He wasn't a baby either. So he was full grown. A full grown man. So, chicken egg comes first, it's always the chicken, not the egg. Alright, so you understand why God created the world. He created everything when he created all matured from the beginning. Now, here stood Adam. Now, you know the Bible says that male and female created he him. Male and female created God him. Now, Adam said that he was male and female. Now, and I said this many times, that male and female does not mean man and woman. You understand that? You understand? Don't tell me he's a man. But he's a male. You understand that? That person there is a human being. He's not a female. Neither is he. Neither is he a woman. Alright? Sisagi is a woman. She's a female. Obviously. Of course, sometimes you walk the road, down the road, you can see one that looks like a female, but he's a he. And that we have problem on that one. And you know one thing, homosexual cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Never can be. And there are some of course who never were caught in homosexuality, but were saved by the grace of God. The devil would twist a person's mind to where he wants to be a she and she wants to be a he. It's all because the devil has worked on their mind. They can say anything in science about the whole, about the, you know, genetic this and that, genetic that and this. But my Bible tells me very clear, 1 plus 1 equals to 2. It doesn't equal 3. Alright? It's no such thing as an abstractness in God's arithmetic. Mathematics is a clear-cut fact. Huh? It's a fact, isn't it? You cannot prove, you can't be wrong in maths, you know. Huh? That's for sure. Now, when Adam, before the fall, you know, when Adam was standing there, it was a male and female. That is that the spirit of Adam that Adam possessed was the Spirit of God, because God created him in his own image. And I said this, that in God, there is no man, no woman. But in God is the attribute of male and female, masculinity and femininity. Right? Now, interesting. When Adam stood there, and he couldn't, after morning, name all the animals, he was alone, and God said, it is no good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. I will make him a help meet his need. Okay. So now, God did not go on. I said, Adam, let me do something for you. And he said, he then go and take some dust and said, and then create a woman for Adam. He did. And then he just put Adam to sleep. Right? And Adam went to sleep. When Adam went to sleep, what did God do? Well, the Bible says in Genesis, and we didn't look at Genesis now, you know, the fact about the Bible, the book of Genesis, holds mystery that God particularly covered it up with a shroud of symbols and just of the last book. The first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible covered with shroud. If you can understand the first book, you can understand the last book. But because the domination Christianity has failed to understand this, they said they have all kinds of ideas about what happened in the Garden of Eden. So now we see here, of course, in chapter 2, and verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the ribs which the Lord had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto the wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, and the man and his woman were not ashamed. Interesting though. And it's been, of course, when young people, now you young people now know what happened here, because we know the revelation of it. Right? Isaiah? Nathan? Huh? Daniel also know, right? Eunice? You know what happened, right? Okay? Young people have the privilege of knowing this truth. But a lot of Christians does not understand, and because when I was young, when I was denomination, the same thing. Oh, yeah, okay. God put Adam to sleep, and when Adam went to deep sleep, under deep anesthesia, you know, impossible to wake him up. You kick him and beat him, he also won't wake up. So God decided to break one of his ribs. And break one of his ribs, and then, of course, close it up with a hand, special miracles, as you all probably trying to imagine it. And then take the ribs, and then, you know, flesh and a woman. And I don't woke up. Ouch! What happened to my side? There is a missing rib here somewhere. No, you know, and I know that is not true. There's no missing ribs. And you get denomination that spread what on earth is God telling us here? What do you think God is telling us here? Because you must understand that this is Hebrew. Hebrew is the language which God used from the beginning to write the Bible. And it's a language that has very strange and deep peculiarity about the way it describes things. They are very proverbs saying, you know. They are what eulogy saying, you know. Similes and things like that. The particular speech that God used here always conveys some hidden truth in those words that he used. So now when you talk about here a rip, it is not a rip. And we know today that it's not true that there is a missing rip in man. Some people say, oh, those floating ribs, maybe that's what God took out. You know, there are floating ribs. Those ribs that did not come out to the front, those back at the few. You know you're floating ribs, don't you? And you call it floating ribs not because you float, but because it's hanging there floating without any prop, you know, they connect to the front. So the Bible said that maybe that's why God, but then God only took one rib. Sometimes there are, I think, two pairs or three pairs or 14 ribs. But doesn't mean God make that many mistakes to fashion a woman? Break up all those bones and just try to get a perfect woman? It's not true, we know that. It's not true. So there is no missing rib, nothing. So then why does the Bible use this? Huh? And the Bible said, the Adam, God put him into a deep sleep.
Wow. What do you mean by a deep sleep?
Why does God have to really put him into a deep sleep? What does deep sleep mean to you? Oh, what does deep sleep mean to you? When the person sleep, kick him, he wake up. Man. Is that right? Now, when he goes to a deep sleep, kick him, do you think he wake up? What does it give you the idea, the expression? All this has meaning in the sense that Adam has to go to deep sleep to present a picture that he died. Think about it now, because we are talking about here and this and this and this. And then we have one more. Forgetting now. The Savior and the church, isn't it? Are you getting a picture here? Are you getting revelation you are talking about? Huh? Still getting revelation. Wow, now you've got a pretty soul. Think about Adam now, okay. Okay, now Adam sleep. When the Bible says God took one of his feet and closed the side thereof and then fashioned it into a woman, what did God actually do? We know when they say a rib, we're talking about the side. The side, the rib. What do you think God do? Don't forget that Adam was male female. All the animals we know, they came out as a male dog, a female dog, a bull, a cow, a cockerel, a hen. Am I not right? A ram, a sheep. Yes or no? Right? Sure. Now man is not, man wasn't created, mankind wasn't created male and female. Man and woman as a pair. No. Only the male. Only the man was created. And Adam was telling that he was male or female. He was not man or woman. Don't forget that. Huh? A man or woman is a transvestite. You look at him as a man, as a woman, and at the same time he's a man. But male or female is a spirit. What God did in Adam was saying, and this picture was, the illustration was that when he put Adam to sleep, there's a figure of the speech. Huh? That death must take place before life comes out. Are you seeing something? And God put his hand into Adam, so to speak. Why did he go in? Why did he take the feminine spirit out? Why did he take the feminine spirit out and form a woman? Not the rib. We know it's the side, the Bible says the side. He put his hand into the side, right? Open up and take the rib, which is an expression because it's going to be a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But what did he actually take out? Because Adam was natural, man. Remember that the expression bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, is to reflect what Christ did for the church. Because we are born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that alright? Spiritually, but not physically. So when God put his hand into Adam, was they got a feminine spirit. It's a spiritual sign of life. From the beginning when God created Adam, Adam was created a spirit. Was not created a natural man to begin with. And so you want be spiritual. Though you are a natural man, I know that, but the spirit that God's dealing with you is a spiritual side of you. You understand? He's creating that image. He's still working on me. Is that right, the soul? And make me what I ought to be. To be like him. To be like him, like on your face. To look at Jesus Christ. Obviously, not it is the Spirit. Your life, the Spirit of Christ that He's given you to shed the Spirit to be like Christ. So when God put his hand into Adam, he went to his heart. Believe me. What do you think your soul lies in? Huh? The Bible has all the hidden truths right here, you know. Man has a heart. And inside the heart, you know, there are four chambers. Am I not right? Huh? The two atria and three ventricles. Four. What do you have? You see a cross there, don't you? Huh? Bible said there are, in the book of Revelation, there is a throne and there are four beasts. What do you think they surround? They surround the throne, is to surround life. What do you think your soul really resides in? Even scientists believe that somewhere in here is that spirit of life, lies in that place. Think about it. Huh? Well, when you collapse, where did the doctor resuscitate your heart? What did it? How to make a heart move? My God, come on, soul, wake up! Try to revive you, just wake up! And we know that there is, medically there is something here, I can't remember the name of that little sport that causes the heart to beat. It's like an endless supply of power, you know, to keep my heart to beat. That's it. And that's where the soul really resides in. What do you think a soul resides in now? Somewhere up in your head? No. It's not in your head. It's in your heart. What did God say? I will not. Huh? You understand that? You may think with your. You may say that you think with your head. Your brain up here, all those brain cells are functioning. Yeah, I mean, it's automatic. Whether you like it or not, it's always computing. Millions of bytes a second. Huh. And you may say, I'm thinking right here. But it's not here that's thinking. It's the heart that's thinking. It's the mind of the Spirit of God. It's the mind that is sitting in here that's thinking. Your soul that is thinking. It is not the soul that the spirit that has the affection, the emotion, the intelligence. Not a thing up here. Huh? You know, I said this before. My friend who always had a dispute, always had a little debate with me. He says that the mind is the one, the brain up here is the one that thinks, that has the emotion, that has the intelligence. So if you remove that, that person has no intelligence. The soul is there for them. The intelligence is all seated in this brain. Oh, that you say that without a brain, you have no intelligence, no emotion, no passion. God has none. Isn't that so? Does God have a brain? God doesn't have a brain. But he has all the emotion, the intelligence, the passion. So what is all that? It lies in the spirit. So whatever God did was to put his hand into Adam's heart, take it out of him, that feminine spirit. Now as I said, this whole Bible here, you don't talk about rich as you are talking about literally. These are all words that express a certain truth. So fashion a woman and give it to Adam. Now, of course, when Adam woke up, he says, well, thou art born of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and you shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's the reason why men and women married. Why have a problem? Don't cry back to mama and papa. Because God has made you as one through your spouse. And the Bible said, they were both naked. The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were naked and they were not ashamed. And they were naked and they were not ashamed. Think about it for a while. They were walking in the Garden of Eden, they were naked, there was no clothing, there was nothing, they wear nothing. They know nothing. Right? Know nothing. They know nothing about what's nothing, anything wrong with the body. Yes or no? Now today, every one of us wear clothes. If anyone appear without clothes in the public, what happened? Everybody know. Everybody, even the person who know, even if somebody strip him off, he will be covering himself. You know, that. But what is the consciousness? The consciousness lies in what happened in the Garden of Eden. Plus that, nothing. There was no knowledge. Adam was presented to. I mean, Eve was presented to Adam, and Adam did not say, "You're naked." No. There was nothing. There's nothing on you because there's all innocency. But when the fourth came, now what happened now? I want you to watch a little bit here. You, when you, the Bible emphasized this verse 25, both were naked and they were not ashamed. Naked and they were not ashamed. The emphasis is on the word naked and they were not ashamed. Where did the Bible emphasize that? They were naked and they were not ashamed. So you're talking about the body. So the emphasis is on the body. Is that right? He didn't say, and both of them have big mouth. His man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. That doesn't do with the mouth. Nakedness has something to do with sexual productive organ. That's what we talk about nakedness. Is that right now? I'm wearing shirt and trousers, and my hand is exposed, and my head is exposed now. My hands are naked, and my heads are naked. Nobody think about that sort of thing, isn't it? Huh? You can describe in story the naked hand. I mean, you know what you know what I mean when you talk about figuratively. Or the naked eye. You see? But when we talk about nakedness, the Bible you said naked is talking about, the emphasis is all definitely some part of the body that today we don't expose. Think about it now, huh? The Bible answered that they were both naked, and his wife, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, chapter 3, here came the serpent. The serpent came along and began to entice the woman. And you know what happened? And then, of course, well, there's nothing wrong eating of this fruit and this tree and blah, blah, blah. And the woman said, yeah, God said that, you know. And then there was a little discussion. And one thing, a lot of people like to talk to. People think that today, you want to talk, like to have a discussion with the devil, you know. A lot of charismatic people, they go around trying to deliver people and start to talk to the devil, things like that, you know. Hey, you don't want a whole discussion and conversation with the devil. You just trying to get lost. And here was what the devil did, using the serpent to seduce the whole conversation with the woman. But you know, I tell you one thing, when you hold a conversation with the evil ones, you're going to lose. Huh? Well, you know the fall came. Now what? The fall came. Immediately, Adam, Arthur, and Eve realized that they were both naked. They decided to cover themselves. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open now. And they knew that they were naked. See, the emphasis is on this body. The body. I'm still talking about the body. The body of Adam, which God put his hand in and took out the feminine spirit and produced the woman. Now, the Bible says, their eyes were open and they were naked. And they started to sow fig tree. Fig leaf. And they started to sow fig leaf, they started to cover themselves. Then, well, the Bible said, the verse 8, and they heard the voice of God walking. Again, why did the Bible use such words? Why did it say they heard the voice of God walking? Why did not the Bible say the word of God or God walking? Voice, because it emphasized the revelation of God coming in a person. That's the voice. The word of God manifest. The word that created heavens and earth, the word that created Adam and Eve, the same word came down in human form every evening at the sunset and fellowship with Adam and Eve. Every time. People don't understand that it is in the Bible. It is there in the Bible. God meets with Adam every evening when the sunset. Why every evening, not morning? Because the Jew count the days from the evening and the morning. Every time the Bible says evening and morning, it is talking about a 24-hour day. People can say it means a thousand years, a million years. That's nonsense. When the Bible says evening and the morning, it talks about a time when the sun set and a time when the sun rises. When the time the sun set and the time rises, it's 24 hours. It's not ages. The evening and morning were the first day. And the evening time that God starts in the evening. To the time when you rest. A time when you relax. After you relax, you get up early in the morning, you work. People work today and get rest in the night. People have to rest first and then work. But how do you change the whole system in the world? You can't. So, you know, God came down and then, he went to the banks of the river where Adam used to sit under a fig tree. And Adam's not there, Eve's not there, of course. He walked around the garden. Of course, Adam here hides himself. And God said, you know, unto Adam, where are you? He says, yeah, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you you were naked, 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 naked? The answer is that they were naked. Who told you you were naked? Oh, because I eat an apple. My mind is naked. But there's no amount that is naked. We know that it's not true. And to these non-denominational churches that refuse to accept the serpent seed doctrine. What can they see? It was because of the serpent that seduced Eve and fornicated with her, and Adam came along and had to redeem the wife. Right? It wasn't a fruit, you know that. Because they saw thickly and covered themselves. The Bible says, "Cover themselves." They cover the mouth. The emphasis is on that. Now, you know and I know that the fig leaf, the covering of the fig leaf over the body of Adam is, has nothing to do with the fall. Why? After God asked the man, "Who do you naked?" Oh, then of course, oh, you know, the woman you give me. She gave me all the tree and I eat. And the woman said to her, God said to the woman, "Well, what should you have done? Oh, the serpent, you know, he beguiled me." And asked the serpent, "What have you done?" The serpent just stand out there. He's a victim of situation. When you say a victim of God's permissive will, like it or not, every time we think about it, it goes right back to God. I am the Lord, I create both good and evil. And sometimes we can't comprehend and say, how could that be? But you know, God sees the end from the beginning. We don't see it. God can see the end from the beginning. We can't. That's the reason why we only understand the end is to come and see God from His perspective. And this revelation is what causes us to be able to see from the beginning of God's perspective. Until when we finish, you understand what I'm talking about. So now, well, you know, after God judges in every one of them, what did God do? And in verse 21 of chapter 3, "Unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Make coats of skins and clothe them. Well, I think that is beautiful. It's beautiful. I bring this in the environment. I go green. So to speak, you know. Why would kill animals and give me coats? Why can't I wear this vegetable covering? Now, a lot of people use vegetable covering nowadays, you know. You hear all news, they use lattes and whatever not. Yes, not? Yes, of course. No, we wear cotton. We wear cotton. Not these are vegetables. These are plants. Of course, synthetically, you have dacron, saffron. These are all man-made materials spun up from some petroleum and whatever you have, you know, molecules and dry up and things like that. And why did God remove the fig leaf and put an enemy coats of animal skins? Why? Remember the emphasis? I said that the fig leaf has nothing to do with the fall, because vegetation has nothing to do with the fall. It isn't a tree. It's not a problem of a tree. No, it's not. It's an animal! You see, what we have is that we have mankind. In the garden, you know what God created heaven and earth? The first thing He created was what? After Sidon fell, you know, back into early history, prehistorical. All the dinosaurs and all those big, big birds and all were all destroyed because Lucifer fell. And God freed the whole earth for millions of years. And then the Bible said, now the God still began to move again and bring back the earth in 6 days. What happened? The first thing is the water. He separated the water. And then after the land. And then vegetation started to grow. Right? Of course, in the sea, there is this water and there's a fish all moving around. But then land, God began to create animals. So in wheat, we have vegetation, vegetables. Then we have animals. Am I not right? And man is part of that because of blood. But we have that, but we have Adam. Well, that's Adam. Vegetation has nothing to do with the fall. Because Adam and Eve, we are naked. They are naked. You know, something has happened to this body. Why? It has nothing to do with the fruit of the tree. Nothing to do that. We know there isn't. Huh? The tree of life, the tree of knowledge, here we know it's not. It's something to do with the Lord of God. But an animal, the serpent, has intruded into this body. Are you not in that tree intrusion? Huh? Intrude into the body. And God says, vegetation has nothing to do with it. Get up! And God took at least several sheep, I know. Maybe just one big one and maybe two big ones, two good merino sheep or whatever. Kill it and then take off the skin and cut out of me. Now what happened was that the animal hucks the body. You see the skin that covers the body, the animal actually hucks the body. Ha, I love you. Now you know what I'm talking about now. I mean, obviously, huh? People, I mean, men and women in sexual affairs hug the body. So the animal has hugged the body. That's why Paul says, when you go out with the harlot, are you not one with the harlot? Isn't that so? Sure. You see. So that skin there is an animal skin there. So the animal has intruded into the body. Animal now controls the body. That's why people behave, any man in our earth, they behave like animals because animals control them. Yes or not? And look at some of these, oh my, I don't know, there was some years back, maybe a few years back, I think this is tongue lock or something. And you have this group called Kiss. My, you know the way they draw their hands. And I saw this program, Guinness World Record, this man that tattooed themselves like an animal. Huh? You saw that, don't you, some of you? They tattooed themselves to look like animals, the body to look like a leopard, I don't know what they want to look like. And truly, man has become insane. Animal have the body. Animal pays the price. That's even what you see out there in the world. Why are the animals? Now, when God created them and killed all the animals and Adam, he was there. The animals were never eating each other. All the lions eat grass. The lion eat grass. How can it be impossible? But wait till the millennium comes in and you will see whether it's possible or not. Because when God created animals, he didn't create them to eat each other. But today, the scientists and all these smart animalist people, canine is for tearing meat. Now, we are not supposed to eat animals too, originally, right? But because of sin, God permitted it. But when the millennium comes back, man will be going back to vegetable. Going to vegetarian. Because God says, herbs and fruit bearing tree, you shall eat. But he not say, Adam, you can roll chicken and can create your own Adam, can fry chicken or whatever. You know, it has nothing to do with chicken, nothing to do with fish. But because the animal has intruded into mankind, animal die. Oh, think about it for a moment. Huh? Animal began to die. You know it's supposed to be death. Think about it, in the world there's no death. Mm. Population increase, there's no death. What then? What then? I mean, you know you have a ball, the world is round. The population increase, the people are gonna fall off. It isn't so. It's not going to fall off. Because the Bible says, replenish the earth, come to a time when the earth is to a certain number of people, there will be no more birth. You can be sure God knows how to do it. But people might then think that God is possible. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Alright? So now because of the serpent seducing Eve, animal died. And God took those animals, the skin of those animals, be it a goat or a sheep, to clothe animal, to clothe Adam and Eve. So you see that by God saying that, there's something to do with that. But when God saw those animals and blood whistles up, blood from the ground, what does it symbolize when blood comes up? Life is given. Life is given. Animal had to die so that to give life. And God took the skin and called Adam so that to symbolize that now there will be something that would have to die to pay for your sin. And it will be animal blood. Animal blood, vegetable juice will not do. And that's what the Cain did. Take a vegetable juice, you know. That's no good. I don't know what you talk about. Religion wants to be, a lot of religion, they want to be simple and not messy. Right? Vegetables is very simple. Oranges, what we have today, a lot of oranges offering. Apples and peach. Right? Yes, in the Chinese pagan, and I don't know about the Indian, I think they offer the same too, somewhat. A lot of flowers, huh? Bananas, yeah, a lot of flowers. So, there's no blood over the place. But God, no. Just imagine God came down in the form of a man, come to Adam and found them in this situation. He went on there, took the goat, the sheep by the horn, and the blood spilled over the place. God has to shed blood. And remember, God has to shed blood. Oh. If you don't have to shed blood, God has to shed blood. Are you seeing a picture? He's the one that has to shed blood. Hey, well, he's the source. He created the mess was there. He cleaned it up. You like the way God do things? That's God. That's our Yahweh. He meets the earth on anything that goes wrong. After all, if he wants a family, he got a family. Even though they are black sheep, he still got his white sheep. And I pray every one of us here are white sheep. So don't you see that this symbolizes therefore that when the skin of this animal was put on Adam and Eve, it shows another thing. As the animal hugs the human being now, humankind, mankind now has two natures now. Are you able to see that? Right? Adam and Eve was naked, one nature. One nature alone. They were naked and they were not ashamed. Am I not right? Yes or no? Yes or no? Nothing to be ashamed about. There was only one nature. The nature of God. But now, there was this animal that hugged the body. That is to say the animal's nature now come upon man. That's why you have two natures Paul talks about. And there are two natures. One of them is called the carnal nature. The old man. And as far as the old righteous man that I am. Huh? Who can save me? The thing that I should do, I do not. The thing that I should not do, why do I do it? Oh God, help me. That's the nature right there, the animal nature that hops the man. And it struggles, the struggle. And remember that this animal nature or animal skin, intrusion, he hugs your body. He touches the flesh. Flesh! Not your spirit. Not your spirit! Your flesh! There's a part also about this old man, this nature! But the nature, the trouble is the nature is It's the senses. You understand? The touch, the sight, the wrong nature, huh? The smell, the taste, the hearing. It's all here. But I don't think Adam originally knew was a spirit. The first ones are all spiritual. He could see into the spiritual life. He could see the angels moving around. Right? Do you understand? He could change the spiritual things, see spiritual, hear spiritual things, and feel and all this. All the senses are spiritual. But here the animals, nature hucks the body, hucks the flesh. And because we're on this earth, the problem is what we see is what we see. We hear is what we hear. We smell what we smell. So all the senses work upon this flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:31. We'll close with this and continue next week. So we stand and read that. Very simple verse, straightforward verse. All I want is the last three words. I die daily. I profess by rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. And I pray that we have died daily in this body. We'll continue next week then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Blessed be thy holy name. Take the words, Lord, that have been spoken, Father, and break it down further, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for truth, Father, because only the Spirit of the Lord could give us the understanding of thy word. Only your Spirit, Lord, could unfold. May we always be in love with you, Lord. Walk in a walk with you. And as you walk with us, Father, getting to know us, please just shape and mold us to the image of Jesus Christ. And as to the things that we ought not to do, we do it. The things that we ought to do, that we don't do it, Father, we pray. That we come to the revelation of dying daily to self. That your Spirit, Lord, may quench our thirst for truth. And bring us to the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We praise you, Father. We thank you for all things now. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.